Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Srimad Bhagavad Gita, Chapter 7. Knowledge of the Absolute, text number 25. Naham prakasha sarvasya
yoga
maya samavrita mudoyam nabijanati lokamam ajam avyayam naham prakasha sarvasya
yoga maya
samavrita mudoyam nabijanati lokamam ajam avyayam na nor aham I prakasha manifest sarvasha to everyone yogamaya by internal potency samavrita covered muda foolish I am these na not abhijanati can understand loka persons mam me ajam unborn avyayam, inexhaustible. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. I never manifest to the foolish and unintelligent. For them I am covered by my internal potency, and therefore they do not know that I am unborn and infallible. Purport. It may be argued that since Krishna is present on this earth, and was visible to everyone, then why isn't he manifest to everyone now? But actually, he was not manifest to everyone. When Krishna was present, there were only a few people who could understand him to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the assembly of Kurus, when Sri Shukpal spoke against Krishna's being elected president of the assembly, Bhishma Dev supported him and proclaimed him to be the Supreme God. Similarly, the Pandavas and a few others knew that he was the Supreme, but not everyone. He was not revealed to the non-devotees and the common man. Therefore, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that for his pure devotees, all men consider him to be like themselves. He was manifest only to his devotees as the reservoir of all pleasure, but to others, to unintelligent non-devotees, he was covered by his internal potencies. In the prayers of Kunti Devi in the Srimad Bhagavatam 1.8.19, it is said that the Lord is covered by the curtain of Yogamaya, and thus ordinary people cannot understand him. This Yogamaya curtain is also confirmed in the Ishu Upanishad, in which the devotee prays. Hiranmayena patrena satyasya pihita mukam tatvam bhushana parvinu Satya Dharmaya Dristaye. O my Lord, you are the maintainer of the entire universe, and devotional service to you is the highest religious principle. Therefore, I pray that you will also maintain me. Your transcendental form is covered by the Yoga Maya. The Brahma Jyoti is the covering of the internal potency. May you kindly remove this glowing effulgence that impedes my seeing your Sat Chit Ananda Vigraha, your eternal form of bliss and knowledge. The Supreme Personality of Godhead in his transcendental form of bliss and knowledge is covered by the internal potency of the Brahma Jyoti, and the less intelligent impersonalist cannot see the Supreme on this account. Also in the Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.7, there is a prayer by Brahma. O Supreme Personality of Godhead, O Supersoul, Master of all mystery, who can calculate your potency and pastimes in this world? You're always expanding your internal potency, and therefore no one can understand you. Learned scientists and learned scholars can examine the entire atomic constitution of the material world or even the planets. But still they're unable to calculate your energy and potency, although you are present before them. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, is not only unborn but also avyayam, inexhaustible. His internal form is bliss and knowledge, and his energies are all inexhaustible. Naham prakasha sarvasya yogamaya samavrita mudayam nabijanati lokamam ajam avyayam. I have never manifested the foolish and unintelligent. For them I am covered by my internal potency, and therefore they do not know that I am unborn and infallible. Namo Om Vishnu Buddhaya Krishna Bhristai Bhutai Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tunamane Namaste Saraswati Deve Kauravani Vacharane Nirvisesa Shunyavadi Pasketya De Siddharane. In this particular chapter, Krishna has already explained about different types of persons we find in the material world. He's explained that there are four kinds of persons who never approach him. They're known as discretinas. They may have some merit, or they may not have some merit, but they're called discretina. They don't know how to utilize their merit properly. Therefore, if one is not a devotee of Krishna, or if one is not following any of Krishna's principles, he can be put into one of four classes. Namam diskritina muda prabhadyante naradama maya aprita jnana asarim bhavam ashrita. Now the mudas, those who work hard simply to fill their stomach, and the naradamas, who have some kind of society that seems to be sophisticated. They wash their clothes in the laundromat, and they wash off the corpse of the murdered animals with very nice scented soap. So they're very sophisticated, less than animals. And the Maya Shrita Jnanas, Maya Aprita Jnanas, they have a lot of philosophy, so complicated no one can understand it, including the philosophers themselves. But they think they're very advanced in knowledge, although they don't understand anything. And the Asuram Bhavamashityas, those were atheists who claim categorically, a priori, that there is no God and there can never be God, and that we must live life without ever thinking of God. Although when logic and arguments are presented before them, they cannot defeat them or even deal with them, still they claim that everyone must blindly accept that there is no God. So these are considered discretinas. But there are others who are not discretinas, but nor are they actually devotees of Krishna, or pure devotees of Krishna. So Krishna mentions them. Chatur vidha bhajante imam jana sukritina arjuna arta jignasa artarti jnani cha paratarshava. So these generally are persons who belong to the Vana Ashram system. Because human life begins with following some kind of rules and regulations. And that means Vana and Ashram. So Vana and Ashram, rules and regulations given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that begins with those who are in distress. And everyone in the material world, by the very nature of being here, is in distress. So generally, if one is a little pious and he's in distress, he turns towards Krishna. And others, which correspond to those of the Vaishya community, the mercantile community, they want economic security. Therefore, they follow the rules and regulations given in the Shastra. They protect the cows, they cultivate the land, they do trading in order to obtain economic security. And others, they try to find out what is the proper direction, how everything should be organized in the material world, and therefore they inquire from the Brahmins and from the scripture. They're known as Kshatriyas. And others, they dedicate their lives fully to trying to understand the nature of the Absolute Truth, and those are known as Brahmins. So Krishna recommends that of all these different types of persons, the Brahmins are the best because they eventually come to devotional service to Krishna, pure devotional service, by dint of cultivating their knowledge. Therefore, they become dear to Krishna. But others, even they may be Brahmins, they take to the worship of the demigods. So Krishna says that these persons are less intelligent. Kaimais taiste ridhigyana prapadyante na devata. Although they follow the rules and regulations of the Vedic literature, they execute so many sacrifices, rituals, but ultimately they're not very intelligent. Their intelligence is stolen by material desire. And yet others, they give up all kinds of fruitive sacrifices and they study the Gyanakanda section and they come to the conclusion that they're a god and that when Krishna comes, he's just another incarnation of themselves. And Krishna says, avyakta vyakta mapanam madhyate mam abhudaya param bhavam ajananto mamavyam anuttama. That unintelligent men who know me not think that I've assumed this form and personality. Due to their small knowledge, they do not know my higher nature, which is changeless and supreme. So pretty much Krishna in the seventh chapter has explained about all different classes of persons. And now he says that, basically speaking, all of them, naham prakasha sarvasha yoga maya samavrita. They're all covered. They cannot see me as I actually am because they're covered. Or I'm covered by my internal energy known as Yoga Maya. And so the deluded world knows me not, I'm unborn and inexhaustible. And in the fourth chapter, Krishna said that Janma Karma Chame Divyam Evam Yoveti Tatvataha. That if one does know me, in truth, by practical experience, about my form, my birth, and about my activities, then he doesn't come back to the material world again. So all these persons, they're all coming back to the material world again. They actually don't have faith in Krishna, or full faith in Krishna at least. Therefore, it's assured that they come back to the material world. And in the ninth chapter, Krishna will say, Ashvadidana Purusha Dharma Syasi Parantapa Apraptyamam Nivartante Mrityu Samsara Vartmane. That those who are not faithful to the path of devotional service cannot obtain me, and therefore they come back to repeated birth and death in the material world. So, the penalty of not understanding Krishna's name and form, qualities, pastimes, is that one comes back to repeated birth and death. In one of these categories of personalities, if one is, gets a human form of life, or in the category of animals or plants or lower. Different species of life. But in any case, if one cannot go beyond the coverings of the impersonal Brahma Jyoti, in other words, even one comes to the Jnana Kanda section of the Vedas, which explained about the nature of the soul, but if one cannot even go beyond that, if one cannot go beyond that to devotional service, then he has to come back eventually to repeated birth and death again and again. In the material world. Therefore, devotional service is considered the most confidential knowledge, and one who actually takes to it is the most fortunate. That it is the one opportunity to get free from all the miseries that come from repeated taking birth and dying again. Ahani, ahani, bhutani. Ahani, 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 bhutani, gachantiya, yama, alayam. Shesha, stavra, ichanti. That this is the most wonderful thing. That again and again, that the living entities are entering into the jaws of death, so many millions of living entities. Ahani, ahani, bhutani, gachantiya, yama, alayam. But Shesha Stavra Ichanti, one is thinking that although so many living entities are going to the jaws of death, Shesha Stavra, I'm going to stay here and make a permanent situation. So this is one of the wonders of the world, that people are not afraid of dying, although everyone's afraid of death, but that's the one thing that they don't seriously endeavor to solve. Just like, for instance, if there was a fire in the building here, everyone would immediately run and get some buckets if it wasn't a big fire, and we'd do something about it. Like if there's a fire in this room here, probably everyone wouldn't sit peacefully listening to class. Except if one was very lazy. There was one story of one king. He was advertising that anyone in my kingdom who's lazy, I'll feed him and provide all his clothing and everything else for free. So the king, he established one house for all lazy people in the kingdom to come. So the house quickly got filled up, and everyone was living at the expense of the king. So the ministers came and said, we can't afford it. There's too many lazy people in the kingdom. You cannot feed all of them. So the king said, set a fire to the house. So they set fire to the house, and all these people ran out, instead, except for two persons. One of them said that now your back is on fire. So he said, well, I'll have to roll over. And the other one said, but and then he said to his friend, he said, I think your front is on fire. So he said, I guess I have to roll to the other side. So the king said, feed these two people because they're actually lazy. They're so lazy they want to run out of the fire. But generally speaking, most people, if there was a fire, they take immediate action. Chanakapanda said, fire, disease, and death, these have to immediately be taken care of. But there's a blazing fire of material existence, samsara dava nanalita loka, and generally speaking, people don't really care so much about it. They're convinced that there is no solution to repeated birth and death. They think that maybe the scientists can find a solution, but they have no information of the soul, nor do they believe in the soul. Therefore, they don't take very much interest in trying to solve this problem. Although it is the principal problem that everyone has to die. Just like, for instance, if we had one pill and we had one pill and we were going to sell it, and if you took this pill, you'd live forever. So, if we had a bid in the room, how much would you like to bid for this pill? Then we'd probably get quite high bids. But everything that one had, one would probably bid for it. Because if one could live forever, that would solve all his problems. Because his main problem is dying. What to speak if we had another pill, he took the second dose, and then he would be blissful at the same time. So how much would you pay for it? And another pill that you would have full consciousness. So how much would you pay for that one? So this is being offered, but people don't take it seriously. We're offering this Krishna consciousness movement is offering an eternal life full of knowledge and bliss. But people think, oh, I don't want really that. I don't want that. They're offering something too strange. Who would want that? But it's actually what everyone in the material world is striving for. But the problem is that in order to get it, we have to accept one thing, that we're a servant rather than the master. So that's too bitter of a pill to buy. If you have to take that pill with a bliss, knowledge, and eternal pill, it's just too much. If you get bliss, knowledge, eternality without that bitter pill of servitorship, being a servant, or recognizing, admitting that I'm a servant, that I can't become the master, then people would gladly give everything for that, and they'll give nothing if you have to take that pill that tells you that you're a servant. But knowledge is that we are a servant. That's the reality. And therefore, without that knowledge of being a servant, there's no question of realizing that we're eternal and blissful by nature. Because we want that illusion that we're the master rather than Krishna or anyone else. Therefore, we have to also accept suffering at temporary repetitions of different types of sufferings. So that's the price we pay. On the other hand, if one can take to the devotional service of Krishna, then everything else naturally follows progressively. And the devotional service of Krishna begins with anukulasya sankalpa, to accept everything favorable for the execution of devotional service. Pratikulyasya varjana, to give up everything unfavorable. Rakshasititi vishvaso, to have faith that Krishna will protect one. Goktrive varanam tata, and that Krishna will maintain one. Atma nikshepa karpanye, to be surrendered to Krishna's will, and to always be humble. Shadvida sharanagati. Shadvida sharanagati. Now these are the different stages of surrender. So at least, if people can accept something favorable at the beginning for Krishna consciousness, then gradually they can get some experience of what it's like to serve Krishna. Although one may not have direct realization of Krishna, but if one is fortunate enough to do something in Krishna's service, then he gets some faith in Krishna consciousness. So, unfortunately, most people aren't trained up to serve Krishna. Everyone's trained up to go against Krishna's desires. Therefore, they'll always have problems. But here it mentions that people say, well, can you show me God? Because here it mentions that when Krishna is present, people couldn't even see Krishna. When Krishna walked into the arena to fight against the wrestlers, Chanura, Mustika, everyone saw him differently. The wrestlers saw him as a thunderbolt. Mother Jasoda and Mother Devaki saw him as a little child. The ladies there saw him as Cupid personified, who was increasing their lust. The members of the Yadu dynasty saw him as a super soul. The unintelligent thought he was a fool. So everyone saw him according to their particular mentality. Atmanam manyate jagat. Everyone sees things according to their own situation. Therefore, when they say, can you show me God, they don't realize that at every moment they're seeing God in some form or another, according to how they want to see God. And if you explain to them that you have to develop, just like, for instance, if I say, can you show me an amoeba? Then, of course, the scientists say that, yes, we can show you an amoeba, but you have to look through this telescope or microscope. You have to look through this microscope because you cannot see with your present eyes something that small. Or if you say, can you show me a black hole? Of course they can't do that. Or can you show me a quark? Or what do they call those things? So, galaxies, and then there's what's beyond the galaxies? There's some kind of quasars. Yeah, quasar. Can you show me a quasar? So they can, according to their imagination, what they think is a quasar. They can show you through a telescope. So similarly, if someone says, can you show me God? Yes, we can show you God, but one has to become qualified to see God. And what is that qualification? Premanjana charita bhakti vilochanena santaksadaiva vidayesha vilokayanti yam shaimasundam achintya gunaswarupam govindam adi purushang tamahang vajami. That one has to develop the eyes to see God, and the eyes of love. So there is a scientific process known as devotional service by which one can develop the eyes by which one can see the Supreme Personality of Godhead as He actually is. That gradually by executing devotional service under the proper guidance, then the result is that one will gradually be able to perceive Krishna more and more. The cloud of Maya, which covers one's consciousness, gradually dissipates and one can see more and more things as they actually are. Utkramantam stitim vapi bhunjana vagunanvita vimura nanupashanti pashanti jnana chakshusha. The foolish, they cannot understand how the living entity quits his body or what kind of body he enjoys under the spell and modes of nature. But those whose eyes are trained in knowledge can see all this clearly. So by taking to training, then one can actually begin to see things clearly. And that is the process of devotional service. Otherwise, then one will naturally accept as his leader and be trained up by someone who's actually in some way or another against Krishna. Except for the pure devotee, everyone else is against Krishna. As against Krishna being supreme. Everyone else is trying somehow or another to become supreme themselves. Therefore it says, Tarko Pratishta Shrutaya Vibhina Nasavari Shir Yasyanibina Dharmasya Tatvam Nihitam Guhayam Mahajno Yena Katasapanta. That even the scriptures, they give us so much information, but most of it is bewildering. It doesn't actually clearly explain about Krishna. And most arguments that people use, they're inconclusive. They don't really come to the actual point. And even amongst the sages, most of them, they can't be considered a sage unless they contradict another sage. Therefore, the real truth of dharma, of religion, is hidden in the heart of the self-realized person. So therefore, one should act by following the footsteps of such a self-realized person. Mahajano yena katasapanta. So by understanding the science of devotion, as given by the Mahajans, especially Swayambhur, Narada, Sambhu, Pralado, Janako, Bhishmo, especially these 12 Mahajans, headed by Swayambhur, Narada, Sambhu, by Lord Brahma, Narada Muni, Lord Shiva. So we're coming in, the disciple succession, coming from Lord Brahma. So, within this disciple succession, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has appeared, and in his coming from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Srila Prabhupada, giving us exactly what Krishna gave us 5,000 years ago, exactly as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has revealed how to realize the knowledge of Krishna consciousness in this age. He's given us the exact scientific process of devotional service, so by applying it, that we can actually come to the platform of realizing Krishna. And ultimately, this movement is trying to fulfill the last instruction of Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, because the last instruction in the book is most important. So in the last instruction, Krishna is saying that for one who preaches this message of my devotee, ya idam paramam guyam mad bhakteshva vidashyati bhakti mai param kritva mame vaishatya samshaya. For one who explains the supreme secret to the devotees, pure devotional service is guaranteed, and at the end he'll come back to me. So this is the last and most important instruction in the Bhagavad Gita, to preach Krishna consciousness, to try to convince these persons who don't understand Krishna to take up the process by which they can understand Krishna. And if one does that, then he's sure to come back to Krishna. So this whole movement is based upon that, trying to become equipped by hearing, by practicing, with the ability to preach Krishna consciousness, to spread Krishna consciousness. And if we do that, then one becomes eligible to go back to the spiritual world. Otherwise, if we don't develop that preaching spirit, then although we may seemingly understand something about Krishna consciousness, but we haven't really understood Krishna's innermost desire. And therefore, especially in Kali Yuga, we won't be qualified to go back to the spiritual world. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, although he came here for internal reasons, to relish the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, their feelings, loving exchanges, but he also spent so much time spreading Krishna consciousness, either personally or through his disciples. We don't find that the Sitz Goswamis, his intimate disciples, were simply doing bhajan in Vrindavan. They were preaching, traveling around Vrindavan, writing books, doing so many things to spread Krishna consciousness. So understanding the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu through Rupa Goswami, and for those who are following Rupa Goswami, Srila Rupa Goswami, then we have to act following this process, and then gradually we'll get the eyes by which we'll be able to see the deity as Krishna, see the deity in everyone's heart as the super soul, and eventually be able to see Krishna face to face. And that's the perfection of Krishna consciousness. So we'll stop there. Thank you very much. Are there any questions? Yes. Yeah, anyone who accepts this Krishna consciousness, he's a devotee. Anyone who takes the book and gives a donation, he's a devotee. How much we preach to them, that depends upon how much of a devotee they are. Because in the previous verse, in the 18th chapter, Krishna said, don't preach to those who are envious, who are this and that, so many different things. Those who are not austere or devoted or engaged in devotional service, or to one who is envious of me. So, idam te natapaskaya nabhaktaya kadachina nachashushu shave vacham nachamam yobasuyate. But if we didn't preach to those, if we took this seriously, I never explained this confidential knowledge to those who are not austere. So who's austere in this age? Maybe you could find someone who is austere, but do you think he'd also be devoted? Probably not. What about engaged in devotional service? What about to one who's envious of it? To rule out everyone, we couldn't even preach to ourselves. So Krishna sets the guidelines, but then he says, but the most dear thing is if you preach to the devotees. So really Krishna wants us to make everyone into a devotee. He wants us to make people austere, devoted, engaged in devotional service, so they give up their envy of Krishna. Somehow or another to do that. And that's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came. If he thought, well, alright, I'll come anyhow and see if there's someone who's actually austere and devoted and engaged in devotional service and he's not envious of me, I'll preach to him. He would have come and left immediately. But we find he preached to all kinds of people and made them into devotees. Just like there was one Muslim, he's a drunkard and a meat eater. And he was the governor on the other side of the river that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had to cross to. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was there with thousands of his followers, and they were all having kirtan and they were dancing, chanting in ecstasy. And one of the spies came across the river for the Muslim governor to find out what was going on. And when the spy saw the chanting party, he fell down and started rolling on the ground in ecstasy, chanting Hare Krishna. So he went back to the governor and said, well, there seems to be a saint there, and he's dancing and chanting, and he's chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, and he started to roll on the ground in ecstasy. So the Muslim governor was quite surprised. You know, he's a normal everyday Muslim, meat eater, you know. And suddenly he's rolling on the ground in ecstasy, chanting these names of God. So he decided to take a trip himself across the river, and he made some deal with the king. What was the king in Jagannath Puri? Pratipudra. So he made a deal with the representative, and he came across, and as soon as he saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his heart melted, and he began to chant the names of Krishna and roll on the ground in ecstasy also. So obviously he wasn't a very pious person, Muslim or Hindu, but still, simply by seeing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he became a pure devotee. So we may not be so qualified, but we should be. We were trying to become somewhat qualified so that people become attracted to devotional service. As Prabhupada once wrote to one of the devotees during the marathon, he said that when people see the devotees, how enthusiastic they are, how much about devotional service, then at once they become struck with wonder and they purchase the book to find out what it's about. Because people are attracted by ecstasy, enthusiasm. And that is what that's what the knowledge that everyone's looking for, how to become ecstatic. Most people don't read books on how to become depressed. Follow our advice, and there's 100% certainty you'll become depressed, and you'll feel miserable all the time, and there won't be any happiness in your life. Just follow our instruction. It's a free book. We read it ourselves, and we're depressed like anything. We're too depressed to charge any money for it. That's why we're giving it away for free. Everyone wants to be as happy as possible, for as long as possible. That's what knowledge is. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Grantara Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.